Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Glen Arbor. We're continuing our series on what does God say when I feel whatever. So today it's a very popular and happy topic. What do God say when I feel doomed? So we're going to, as we go through the series, we're going to talk a lot about feelings, which is very, very unpopular because we like to mask our feelings. We like to put things away. But today, we're going to ask you to maybe feel some things. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll ask the Lord to speak to us. Lord, thank you so much for your love, for your loving kindness towards us. I ask that you bless the band today. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth, and that you would speak to us specifically this morning. We do praise you and thank you. In your name, amen.
Morning, everyone. Let's...
Morning, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for coming here today. I wanted to give a special thank you to everyone who helped out with our putting on our GCLI conference yesterday. If you weren't able to attend, there are people from our five churches in what we call the Eastern Midwest Plains region, and we gathered here and talked about how to become good at making disciples. One of the things we've talked about is rotating between different churches, and we're kind of centrally located. And I was talking to one of the pastors. I said, you know, we could have GCLI at your church. And he said, you know, we really like coming here. We really enjoy coming here. And I think part of that is you are just a very welcoming community of friends and fellow believers. And so he was kind of saying, no, let's keep it here. So thank you to everyone. I know I got to speak, and it's a privilege, but there's a lot of work that goes into doing that. People who clean, people who help out, people who do the food, and just thank you for everyone who made it a welcoming, comforting time. So just a round of applause for all the people who in the background. Because it's the people in the background who don't get recognized. So thank you to all of you who helped out. Just a great welcoming time. So today is our normal breaking of bread Sunday. Normally we meet in people's homes, but due to the conference, Greg's group is going to meet in the church at 12:30, and my group is going to join Greg's group. So if you want to do that, I don't know if Greg knew that before just now. So but out of all the conference activity, we just thought that was easier for our two groups. If you want to break bread and just remember the Lord's sacrifice for us, that'll be in the building today. Thank you, Greg. Just a reminder, our high school ministry and Awana events for November are on the schedule if you want to know what's happening on the specific nights. And also a reminder, if you're planning on going to the Faith Walkers conference, which is a phenomenal conference. Our region is going to Des Moines this year. I did make my hotel reservation this week and did register, and I asked, because I just like to know, I said, how many rooms do you have left? And in the block of rooms they have reserved, she said four. And so anyway, if you haven't registered yet, you may want to just get involved in that this week. It's a great thing to be involved in. That is it for the Sunday morning announcements I have for today. So the ushers are going to come forward and take the offering. This is a time in a service where we honor the Lord with how he has blessed us financially. Thank you.
All right. Morning, everyone. And thank you, music team, for leading us in worship. I changed glasses. Our topic today is, it seems everyone has picked up on this, is what God says when I feel doomed. So we have to say that all day. Is what do you feel like? You feel doomed. So you have to say it real loud. And so let's all try that together. What does God say when I feel doomed? Very good. Excellent. So we'll see how far that goes. I hadn't planned on doing that, but it sounds like fun. So Earl taught us about what God says when we feel like a failure. And with all of these topics, you might be able to apply what we learned today to anything, but I think it's particular to this topic. You know, we've all felt these things before, or we should have if we're a human being that lives on this planet. And we might feel like a failure. I felt like that. And you might have felt like that at some point. We all feel that way. But have you ever felt impending doom? Oh, doom, right? So, or something really bad is going to happen to you or to someone you love. I felt that way many times. And the definition of doomed is, let's see if I have that as the very next thing. Yes, it is the next thing. It's likely to have an unfortunate or an inescapable outcome, ill-fated, if you were, or destined for destruction. And so it's a dread of the coming of future events that we don't know the outcome, right? And really, anything in the future, we don't truly know the outcome. And so there's always this constant fear of what will happen. And some of it, the fear, sometimes it's just mild nervousness to severe panic, whatever it might be. It might be school tests to medical tests. It might be a meeting with the boss or to meetings with close friends or spouses. It might be relational interactions to government interactions. It might be quiet times to jail time. All those things. Though sometimes we fear stuff that has a low priority. Sometimes we fear more of the same. Sometimes we feel someone up there doesn't like me. Or ill-fated, cursed, or being punished, or disciplined. How do I match up with what I feel, with what God says? And here's what we're going to kind of cover today. When I feel doomed, when I feel, what does God say? I feel doomed by the curse of sin, by slavery to sin, because of God's love is gone, or my circumstances. And let's pray, and you can kind of think about, wow, maybe there's something in that list there. There might be other things that we're not covering today, but we have a limited amount of time. So, but I think you can apply this to many different areas. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you are in control of all these things. We ask that you would speak to our hearts directly what you want us to specifically learn from this topic. And we ask that whatever it is, you'd bring peace and calm, the peace that surpasses all understanding. We pray this in your glorious name. Amen. There are many times in my life when how I feel does not match what the Bible says is true. I think you might find that to be true for yourself. My emotions and my feelings overtake what my mind or heart believe, or both. Circumstances can be very overwhelming. For example, I'll give you one of circumstance. For me, my current work, you know, Dean mentioned those of you who are at GCL yesterday, he mentioned working at BP Whiting. Well, that's a plant that my company now, the company I work for now, actually does work on. And during that, even as he was speaking, I was getting texts and emails from my company about that plant. Things are going wrong. And this is kind of the nature of my job now. So it's pretty typical that you think, okay, I'm going to do these things today. And someone runs in as, the planet is burning down. It's all our fault. Something of that nature. Or that's how they start, right? Or even I got an email that says, there's a thing stuck in the thing, and we don't know what to do about it. And what's the answer? And if we don't get the answer in 5 minutes, we're never going to get work from them again. There's a thing stuck in the thing. And so I'm trying to figure this out from 100 miles away. That's every day. Every day's kind of like that. So it can be very stressful. It can seem it's a very difficult type of work. It can feel It's overwhelming. It's like it's too much. It seems never ending. Like if this is the way it's going to be the rest of this career, I don't know. Like it seems like I'm doomed, right? So at those times, I was going to Lord and I says, one thing I found to be really helpful, I was reading in my quiet time. Yes, yes, I know. But let's all look at Amy and, or I'm sorry, it's Angie. But at those times, one thing I found to be really helpful is to take a, like as I'm just reading scripture, says, Lord, you know what I'm going through, and maybe I'll start my quiet time, maybe my regular reading that day, or I'll do, read something else, and apply it to that one part of my life where I'm struggling. And for when I was kind of thinking about this, and I was thinking, Lord, why did you lead me to this job? You know, you seem to want, I can see how Job might have felt, why have you done this, you know? And here's what it says. This is the verse that the Lord, it was the very first verse that I read. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, so that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And what struck me about this is that, imagine you're a disciple and someone is saying that directly to you. They're saying, you believe in God, but in the same way you believe in God, I want you to believe in me. And I was thinking, wow. So that's about trust. Do I really? Here it comes. I can say in general, yes, we were talking about this in teen group too. This, by the way, we talked about this very topic in teen group. But one of the things we said, yes, many people believe in God, but do they really know him? Do they really trust him? Have they been through the ringer with him? And I feel like I'm being brought through the ringer with him. And what hit me about this, he's saying, believe also, believe me. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. That's what spoke to me right there with where I was at. And it really helped me right at that moment. I said, okay, you're asking me to trust you. I believe in you. Was this specific to my job? Not, it wasn't written for that purpose, but it definitely specifically hit me. You might say, I don't know the Bible. I'm not a theologian. It's for theologians and smart and or boring people. So that's not for me. You know, I don't know where all these good verses are like you guys do. The truth is that God's word is for everyone. It was written for everyone. If it's just for those people, then what's the point? They become the gatekeepers then. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a gatekeeper for all human beings. It is available to everyone. You can listen to it on your iPhone, like there's the verse of the day. Maybe that's the one, as you're feeling that feeling of impending doom, whatever circumstance you're in, sometimes I've had, that's the verse of the day that comes up on the phone, and it says whatever it's going to say, and that really speaks to me that day. I don't know if you've had that happen. Just open it and somehow, just open your heart and see how it meets the need. Often, I'll study then and memorize that scripture afterwards and apply it to that area of struggle. And it more than helps me, it brings actual peace to that area. I pray through it on my way to and from work. It helps me the commute go so much faster, particularly if it's bumper to bumper. And then you just really just don't notice. You're not, you know, trying to run old ladies off the road or do bad things because you're focused on something that's good. And as I do this, I find that God is faithful to help me. And that's where it's not just to get through the struggle, but it's to build what he wants. He's doing these things to build a relationship with you. Do you ever notice that, you ever had a close friend and you've had a tough time where you're at odds with each other, and then you guys reconcile, what happens to the relationship? It's stronger. It's much stronger because you've been through a tough time together. When those that go to war and veterans, we had Veterans Day on Friday, and so they remember that those they've been through a very difficult time together. That builds that bond because you have a common difficulty. Good times are strong. Tough times are even stronger. And so that's why I believe that God does through this. I find that he's faithful to help and calm and encourage and understand me in my struggle. He gets down to where I'm at, and he'll get down to where you're at. I feel like he personally put this verse there for me. That seems very odd. Well, this is for everyone. But he put that there for me to read at this time. That's the way it feels to me. It's so that strong. And what happens when that happens? It says in Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. It's like even trying to describe it, it's not something you can describe. It's something you have to experience. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is the power of God and his word. So, and it gets there and cuts through not just to reveal truth to us, but it is truth about us. Do you see the difference? It's not just to reveal truth to us, but it is about us. See? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. That's about you. That's about me. It's not just, here's the truth, necessarily just a general idea that's kind of a concept that's kind of way out there. This is very specific to us. It's very specific to you. Why is that? Why is God's word powerful? It says here in Hebrews 4:12, this is a very common verse, but if you really look at it, for the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. You know, just stopping there for a second, there's been hundreds of years of debate on the concept of, in theological land, about what is mind, body, soul, spirit. Is there four parts? Is there three parts? Is there two parts to mankind? And we can't tell, you know, but God's word can. Actually can split between a soul and a spirit. It's like, I can't do that. Can you? No. Even with a laser, you can't do it. Joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. All, like there's almost four parts, the mind, body, soul, and spirit. He can separate a person into four, as many, many parts. And lay it all out and said, here's this and here's that. It's not just information or about living. It's a living truth. It's about us. It's alive because we are alive. Like the connection, you ever notice that how much we like to be around images and pictures and other living things, you know. We like to the nature that God has created. We like to be in it. Why is that? Because we're connected to other created things. We feel peace around other things created by God, like forest and animals and whatever. So too, the Word of God is alive and ready to meet our emotional, spiritual needs, and that's why there's a kind of a connection. It is a connection. So as we go through these feelings, I'm going to go through each of these items, and I want you to think about maybe what you feel in that particular area. So, and you'll find that he understands and he has been there himself. Jesus has been there, and his truth overcomes all, like a trump card in a Euchre game. The one card that rules all. It just overshadows whatever is going on. Let's start with our first, like you might feel doomed by the curse or a curse. It might be when I feel burdened by my sin or unable to approach. I feel like I'm so burdened by it, I can't even come to God. I can't even open his word. I'm just doomed. I feel doomed or cursed or pushed away by God because we feel we have sin that separates us from God. Even though in our mind we know Jesus paid the penalty, we still feel guilt and shame. And I was talking to someone about this morning. It's kind of like, you ever have a friend that you're in the middle, right? So you have a friend, they're telling you all your problems, And so, and you say, well, I know this, let's say, we'll say, this real smart doctor that can help you. And so you walk over to the doctor and say, doctor, this is my friend's issues, right? So, and then the doctor says, well, they need to do this. And you walk over and to your friend and say, hey, Dr. So-and-so said this. And so it's kind of like back and forth. Don't take, hey, Dr. So-and-so said this. Oh, I don't know if I really want to do that and everything. All right, well, he said try this. Oh, I don't know. That won't work. Okay, well, they said this, and you're just back and forth. And you know what this is really like? This is like how your mind and your heart work, and the mind is in the middle. And there's God's word over here, and this is your heart over here. So if you kind of imagine like two puppets, like, hey, I read this really cool scripture here, you know, and it's yeah, so what? I'm busy, you know. So, yeah, but it was really cool, you know, and it said about that we're not doomed and that it gives peace with all understanding. Oh, gosh, this is the way I feel. You know, I've got a lot of problems. So that's kind of like in the middle. So the mind sees this really good stuff, but your heart, it's not, if it's not connected. So what you got to do is take the doctor and say, hey, you know, or the person, it's like you bring them to the doctor, right? So the heart kind of can act. Sometimes your heart and your head don't agree. You ever have that happen? It's like what you feel and what you think aren't together. And I know this is true, but I don't feel that it's true. So you bring the person over. You bring your heart over directly to the Lord. And that's when there's communication. And I find so much better that you feel that it's a real change can happen. Because that's you need to bring the patient to the doctor. So even though, again, in our heart, we know that Jesus paid the penalty, we still might feel guilt or shame. Sometimes these issues can be big-time events, single events that we really messed up in that happened long ago, maybe, or they are repeating truth, repeating something that's, or both, some combination. Maybe this is hitting you right now as I say it. And let's even try it here, and then you can learn to do this yourself, even. Matching God's word to your feeling or issues or troubles. If you feel like that sometimes or at any time, I want you to kind of feel that now. So let's say you feel I'm cursed or doomed by the curse, the horrible curse. You've done something or you feel like you're too evil to go before the Lord. For whatever reason, you might believe, I know that's not true, but I feel that's true. So if you could feel that for a moment, and then we say, well, what does God say about that? You're feeling cursed, you're feeling doomed, but here's what he says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in our time of need. This is talking about Jesus, who is also God. Was he tempted? Yes. Can he sympathize? Yes, he says he does. Has he been there? Yes. Right? Matthew 4:4. He's tempted by the devil. And so, does he say, you are just too horrible here to come before the throne? No. Does he say, you cannot approach the throne of God, you pathetic loser? No, that's not what it says. If that were true, we would all be lost, right? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. Then who can go to the throne? If he is holy and just and perfect, and we are not. He says, come before it. He says, you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. It's not like it isn't true. It's not like he's saying, no, that isn't, you know, that it, oh, let's just wipe it away. It wasn't like that didn't happen. He's saying it is happening. But he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. So what does God say? This is what he says to me. You're reconciled. the debt is paid. It says, you are holy. You are holy. You are blameless. You are above reproach. The thing you fear is not reality. It is no more. It is a phantom, an illusion, a vapor. What is done cannot be undone. You are His. Period. So, thinking about those things, now, if I were to say, how do you feel, or do you feel doomed by this? I don't. Do you feel destined for destruction? No. Do you feel like I can't approach God in any way with this kind of wording? I feel I can approach Him whenever I need to. Whenever it's always open. The door is always open. I don't. How can that be true? How can it be true that I'm cursed? How could it be true when this matches up with what I'm feeling? I feel welcomed by Him. It is a throne of grace, after all, not the Wizard of Oz. I don't have to walk the Yellow Brick Road to get to Him. There's not a giant door in the way. There's not a giant floating head with fire on either side. That's not the throne of grace. It is an open door. And again, it's meeting the heart that wants to know the truth, that wants to feel the truth. Look at how emotional the wording is. It isn't just logical. Yep, you're dumb, that's wrong, get it together. That would be logical. But how it really meets the need of the question, if you feel cursed or ashamed. Let's look at another area you might feel doomed in. Some people feel doomed or destined for destruction or trapped by slavery to sin. What does God say when I feel like sin has power over me? Yes, I know I am forgiven, but I am trapped by this area or that area. Addictions abound in this world. We see it all the time, and we know what they are. I don't have to list them all. Secret areas that can never be broken and will never change. That's the way it can feel. Let's try this again. I can't change. I'm trapped. I'm destined to continually repeat the same story. What do I do? Well, let's see. What does God say about that? Doesn't ignore it. Doesn't say, well, you know, it's all wiped away. But actually gives an idea of what to do. So let's not sin. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body or make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments or unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. So what I like about this is that it's not just encouraging, but gives you a positive solution. It tells you, here's what you need to do. So it's not just like, the old joke that says, the guy that went in to see the doctor and doctor says, what's wrong? Well, it hurts every time I keep doing this. Well, don't do that, right? It doesn't just say, stop sinning. Stop being a loser. Stop doing wrong things. So often we hear that the Bible is just about that, about rules. But it isn't saying, are you sinning? Well, stop. It says, here's the truth. The truth is, you're not trapped. You are not in an ending loop. Sin has no dominion over you, and that's the way it can feel, is this oppressiveness. That's the idea that we can be trapped by. It has a dominion over you, even though it feels like it's true. It isn't. You are an instrument of righteousness. You are an instrument of righteousness. Be what you are. That's what this is saying. Here's the truth. Be the truth. Just, you are creatures of grace, not of the law. See, He understands. He's been there, and His truth overcomes the trump card. So are you trapped? Are you really trapped? Are you trapped? No, you're not trapped. Are you an instrument of sin and slavery, destined to mechanically do it over and over again? No, you're not. Are you doomed by it? No. Act and be as free as you already are. Right? The word of truth trumps our fears by revealing what's real. What we feel is often not what's reality. Let's do another where we meet up our feelings with this truth. Here's another one. I feel doomed because God's love is gone. For whatever reason, I feel like God's love is gone. He just isn't there. It's like his favor has removed from me. The old flame I used to share in my youth when I praised him and followed him and we were going to do great things for God. Hallelujah. I feel like maybe I let him down or he just doesn't care about me anymore. He's gone on to someone else. I'm not important enough. We're not too as close as we used to be. So I feel separated from his love, and if that's so, I'm doomed. What does God say? For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In teen group, one of the things when we went through this portion of it, we list a bunch of verses, and the group breaks up into teams. And so each team, the object is, if you had a friend that felt this way, felt doomed, how would you counsel them? And so what would be the best verse you would use? And what's like the worst verse, the verse you wouldn't definitely not use? So, and it's more of an exercise, it's like how would you actually use these things? And this one was picked a couple times. And why? Because it's a great verse to memorize. It's such a big trump card. It's everything, neither, nothing, death. That's a pretty big card. The death card, right? Life card. Neither death nor life. Well, those are the two conditions I can be in. So what's left? Nor angels, nor rulers. Your boss, classmates, reality shows, breakfast cereals, things present nor things are to come, powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, Christ Jesus our Lord. That includes us. Are we part of creation? Yeah, we're part of creation. And as you do this, as you kind of bring this together, as you memorize it, I suggest you do that during your time of need, because that's when you really want to know it. Getting his word in our hearts heals so many wrong emotional ideas we have. These are foundational to this idea, this particular verse. So if you are bought with his blood, you cannot be separated from his love. You cannot. But I feel I'm so worthless and not worthy of it. I'm just not worthy of that love. We cannot earn his love, right? We can't earn it, but it is freely given. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. This was another one that the teen group picked. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Wow. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I think because we're creatures caught in time, that time wears us down. We were talking about, you know, as you get older, one of the things that you start to talk about is the weather and all the different medical tests you've had. And the assumption that that wearing, that that wears God down too, because he's been with you the whole way. Well, you must be as worn out as I am. But just that is not so. He cares about sparrows. He cares about every hair on your head. And I would like that to sink in. When I understand that, when I feel that that's true, I don't feel doomed. I feel protected and loved and cared for. What kind of love is that? I guess I would call it eternal love, never ending, bigger than life. To feel that love, it is so very, very true. Has he abandoned us? Has he unloved us or unliked us? No. He is love, and he never fails to love us because love never fails. If he is love and love never fails, then he can never fail. A equals C, then B equals C. Both A must equal B. I'm not doomed. I am embraced, protected, and loved eternally. And so are you. The last one is, I feel doomed by my circumstances. And I don't know you, but I can get very agitated when things pile up. Like there's one thing, you know, one thing right after another. And so for us, it can be, it's, you know, the job, status of the church, Janelle's sickness for us, Janelle's sickness, and you guys, others have sickness. And then just right as we were talking about how we're going to do that, then, you know, we got a letter from the IRS, and Janelle's getting audited by the IRS. So it's like, thanks. Thank you. So because she's obviously a threat to society. Yes, yes, many have said that. But when things pile up, I was like, oh, Lord, what other weight do you want to put on me, right? What more? Yeah, what more? What more? But this is an example of, he not only tells us truth, but what to do about it, you know? As always, it is to go to him. And I'll tell you, sometimes this is when I don't want to go to him. It's like, you let this happen, you know, kind of. And I think you're in agreement with me because I felt that. It's like, Lord, you kind of let this happen. And I'm not supposed to use the word kind of. You did let this happen. But I think it's to draw us to him even more. It's, again, in these tough times. You may feel, again, overwhelmed, worn out, totaled, spent. I feel that. I know that feeling. And what does he say? Well, too bad. Just bear up and tough it up. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Wow. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I have found this to be true, that if I take it to him, it just makes it so much better. I think sometimes the reason that we feel this burden is because we try to bear it ourselves. I'm strong enough. I can do it. What does not kill me makes me stronger, or it could kill you. When I feel bound by those circumstances and fear of man, God promises he's with me. And that's when I feel like, wow, he's bearing that burden. He is wanting to show how to really trust him. This is a proving ground in a sense. This is a good one for work or relationships where you might feel trapped in this next verse here. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord. This is David speaking, King David. And he answered, it says, "In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" And if you know the story of King David, he had a lot of stuff that men did to him. Some of it he brought on himself, some of it, most of it, others, it just happened to him. It happened to him. "Am I doomed by circumstances or people? Only if I let them. Am I doomed? No." He says, "Do not be afraid." If you want to just see, get an example, you want to see someone that was really a good example in this, read the Psalms. Because if you want to see the process of how he goes from, he is being hunted down as a, like an animal. And he says, "Lord, what the heck is going on? What are you doing to me? You know, why don't you," and he uses these words, "destroy them." Destroy them, right? And uses some pretty graphic language for it, right? But he's, then at some moment, there's like, then it just stops. And this new thought comes to mind, "But you are God." And it's like a transformation happens right in the middle. And many of the Psalms are like this, is, "You are God. You are holy. I know that you're in control. I trust in you." And this, it's like in the midst of his, he's letting it all out. And I encourage you, let it all out before him. And then it's just, his peace comes. His truth comes. The truth comes. We see him cry out. And then the Lord shows him some truth. And he was in a cave. So he didn't have an iPhone to look at scripture or Bible or any kind of, at least I don't think he did. Because it was currently being written. So I suggest you do the same. Do the same. And in closing, this is what, if you feel doomed, God says. So I feel doomed by, and what I've done is I've changed the title. So I, what the truth is, I feel doomed by the curse, but the truth is I am free of the curse. I feel doomed by slavery to sin, but I am free of the slavery of sin. God's love is gone, but God's love is eternal towards me. That's the truth. And I am free of my circumstances. This last verse I'm going to share, and you'll recognize it immediately. And let's see if you guys, what is this verse normally shared at? Funerals. Wow. What a normally doomed place to. It's like, oh, they died. Oh, that's pretty bad. That's bad, 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 right? And we share this verse. Why? Why would we share this? Because this is true, is that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus said, there will be trouble in this life. And I think I'm always surprised when there's trouble in this life. And sometimes more than I feel I can bear. But he walks with me. Even though I'm there in the valley of the shadow of death, he is with me no matter what's happening. Let's pray, and we'll have the music team come up. Lord, we thank you so much that you're with us. You're our shepherd. As David was saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You make us lie down in green pastures, Lord. You restore my soul. And I pray that you would restore each of our souls today, that you restore it. Give us strength. Help us to go to you. Help us. Whatever our trouble is, we're feeling these destinies towards destruction, these outcomes that will be nowhere, but you're with us. And I ask that you'd show us, how can I personally bring each of these, whatever the issue is, to your truth?